Buckeyes, huge winners over the weekend. It's time for our game break. Let's talk to Tim May. What's up, Tim?
Hi, Tim.
The stock market, I hope, man.
Yeah, it always is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, 77 points, and I mentioned this when we were talking to Clay Hall on Friday. Dwayne Haskins, in my opinion, and we only saw a little bit last year, would be completely different than anyone we've seen in a long time, and he is. I mean, that quick release, he is more pro-ready, and this is just one game, so I'm not going to overreact, but he's more pro-ready than a guy we've seen in a long, long time.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to expound on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He stands in the pocket. He delivers. Bottom line is, I don't know if they actually called the zone read option, the true zone read on Saturday, because I don't think he handed it. I don't think he kept the ball one time in that regard. He did scramble a couple of times, but this is a different cat at quarterback, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, because clearly he's got some receivers. Terry McLaurin has turned it up a notch going into his senior season. As you saw, he took that little stop route and then went all the way with it. And you've got Austin Mack, who, if you get the ball near him, seems to catch everything that gets near him. And Paris Campbell, just right on down the line, they've got some receivers. I mean, Benjamin Victor didn't catch a pass on Saturday, but he threw a couple of key blocks on a couple of touchdowns. I mean, he hasn't even come online yet, so to speak, in the Haskins passing game. And I heard they had pretty good chemistry in preseason camp. So, we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, it's a new day has dawned. It's looks like, when they went from Stan Jackson to Joe Germain, it's kind of a different look. But I think as Dwayne Haskins Jr. showed on Saturday, he can beat you with his feet occasionally when he wants to.
Yep. And the thing that I like too, and my only beef, and I was a JT Barrett guy. I think he was fantastic, knows how to run that system so well.
Let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
JT Barrett was the most prolific quarterback in Big Ten history in terms of yards gained and touchdowns produced. So anybody wants to argue that with me, we'll go around the corner. And I'm with you, though.
No, I'm not going to argue.
Exactly.
I think he was fantastic. But the one thing that just would make me squirm a little bit when JT's carries got so high, only from the standpoint of the running backs behind him.
Right.
I just worried about, okay, JT's carrying the ball 17, 18 times. I would rather have maybe four of those carries go to the running backs, because I think you'll get a little bit more production. And I think it's an added bonus because you're not running the same offense. And look at what Weber did over on Saturday.
No, you're right. I mean, when you play with JT Barrett, it's kind of like working with a foreman. If you're on a construction crew who wants to drive all the key nails, put in all the key bricks, and instead of letting you do your part of the job. And there's no debating how effective he was most of the time in that regard. But yeah, I mean, you saw the two-headed monster, as Ryan Day calls the running back situation. I mean, he called it last week about what a great camp Mike Weber had had. Obviously, Mike Weber the year before had been hampered by that hamstring pull all camp and didn't really get on track until the middle of the year. And we remember the Michigan State game. But bottom line is, he came out of the tunnel. He came out of the tunnel 120 miles an hour.
Wow.
And now you have that conundrum. I mean, he looked like that big time back you expected to see, a year ago coming. When it was finally his turn, instead he had to sit and watch J.K. Dobbins do most of it early. So I'm interested to see how they use those backs now. And, we're still hearing that there could be a two-back set, as this thing goes on down the road, because J.K. Dobbins is an excellent, obviously great running back. So you got to use him too. I mean, it'd be foolish not to. I'm just curious to see how it's going to work out.
You know who Weber's like, I feel like I have to give an explanation that I'm saying this before I throw this to you. I am not comparing him as the player. I'm saying his style. Weber's style is like Emmitt Smith, kind of the vision, hitting the hole and seeing it. Boy, it reminds me of I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Fame back. I'm just saying the way he looks when he runs the football reminds me of Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, I mean, people can remind you of anybody. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, Dwayne Haskins Jr. with that languid delivery of his, just smooth over the top. I mean, he looks like a lot of former big-time quarterbacks, but you're exactly right. I mean, Mike Weber's strength is, I think, he does hit the hole and makes a decision and goes with it. There's very little spin move. those kind of things. Whereas J.K. Dobbins has got that little jump cut, which is like, you know, sets him apart. And but yeah, Weber, he just looks like he wants to put his knees right into your you know, whatever you throw in front of him, your helmet, your shoulder pads. He wants the first thing you hit to be his knees.
Yeah, Tim Mays with us from the Dispatch. It's our game break defensively. And kudos to Oregon State, because if I'm planning a game plan against a defense that has probably two first-round picks on the defensive line, other draft picks there, I'm probably running the same game plan. The slip slot, you know, screens when you got an aggressive defensive front, play action pass that first touchdown. I think the linebacker bit a little bit and allowed that touchdown. I'm watching it on TV, so I'm not seeing your view. But they did the right things to kind of slow this defensive down. But, you know, the good news is this, Tim. I think the Buckeyes look at that film and say, other teams are going to do this. We're going to fix this.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. You know this. I mean, they took advantage of, like you just said, of Ohio State's tendency, which is everybody on that team wants to make the play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I was talking with Jordan Fuller last week. I said, what's the best thing that this defense got better? What's the number one thing this defense got better at as the preseason went along? And he said, run into the football. And that sounds stupid, you know, but, I mean, it sounds like, not stupid, but it sounds like an odd thing, but meant the whole team running to the ball. Well, you know, occasionally, you know, when you're doing that, you can get caught on the flip-flop. And they definitely got caught that way, especially on those two long runs. I mean, they actually got blocked really well on those two long runs more than anything else. But,
yeah. But
yes, you're exactly right. I mean, you use a team's strength against it. And sometimes you're just so hell-bent coming out of the gate to be the guys that make the plays that you do get caught up in. And, I mean, it's just human tendency.
Nick Bosa, we only got to see a sample size because it was so big. And he was disrupting every single play, even if he wasn't involved in it. He was there. Could you imagine, Tim, and we'll see it pretty soon here, if Nick Bosa's in 80 to 90% of the plays, how many sacks and how many, you know, quarterback pressures this guy's going to get? I never thought we could see the same type of production of Joey, because Joey was such an all-around player. I mean, he would sniff out those screens. Nick Bosa could be just as good, if not better, than his brother, which is hard to fathom.
Yeah, and they're, as even their dad will tell you, they're a little bit different in some respects, but the bottom line is what they're not different at is they both study the game like you wouldn't believe. They both hone their skills. I mean, you know, this sounds like a funny thing to say about a defensive lineman, but anyway, you talk to about Nick Bosa says his hand skills are off the chart, meaning his ability to use his hands to create openings for himself. You know, it's almost like a boxing game or a judo game up front anymore.
Yeah, he sets people up.
Exactly.
Yep.
But his first step, you know, is his first two steps, really, in my opinion, have always what set him apart, is because all of a sudden he's by you, he's next to you or by you as an offensive lineman, and now you got to deal with that. And even if he doesn't get to the quarterback, he's going to usually alter the launch point, you know, from a passing situation, et cetera, because he's going to have penetration in the backfield. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be curious to watch him get more plays as it goes along. Whether the production will go up accordingly remains to be seen, but it could go up for other people while they're worried about him. And the other guy that had a great game Saturday, and, you know, hardly even mentioned him, was Draymond Jones.
Oh, he was so great, wasn't he?
But that's what happens. Yep. See, when you've got like two guys, and then Chase Young coming off the other edge, you know, with that pincer move, I call it, between him and him and Nick Bosa, that's going to be tough now. But I always couch it with this when I'm talking about this game in particular. They were playing Oregon State.
Yeah.
I mean, not even Oregon. And Oregon State was a 1-11 last year under a new coach. You know, I mean, some of these other games you watched over the weekend, those were two pretty good teams going at each other, like Notre Dame, Michigan, you know, last night Virginia Tech, Florida State, LSU, and Miami. Those were two really good teams going at each other. That was not the case for Ohio State's opener. It won't be the case on Saturday.
Yeah, real quick, just more of the same with Rutgers?
No, you know, I think Rutgers is going to be better than it was, but how do you judge it? I mean, you know, Nebraska's pretty good, but Nebraska couldn't figure out how to stop Ohio State. I think Ohio State just scored another touchdown on Nebraska just now.
Yeah.
But Rutgers, same way. I mean, I think Ohio State's average like 52 points a game the first four games in the Big Ten against Rutgers. I would see Ohio State getting into that realm again. So we'll see.
Great stuff. What do you got? Do you know what you're writing this week?
No, I'm just off. I'm off all this week. I'm just going to I'm writing all kinds of things this week, man. You know, we got a Game Day Plus card. We have to put out a special section every Saturday, Game Day Plus. Me and Bill Rabinowitz and Ray Stein, all those guys. So,
I met Bill at Frank Caliendo.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
good
you did,
guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
great guy.
He said he went there. Yeah. Oh, Caliendo, man. Oh, my goodness.
Funny dude, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
Me and you are going together next time.
All right. Hey, are you picking up the tab or am I
to? You know what?
He will.
I will pick up the tab.
Appreciate it, man.
So we're going.
Actually, I don't drink tab anymore. I drink Diet Coke, but whatever.
That's good for me, then. A lot cheaper. Thanks, Tim. We'll talk to you next Monday.
See you guys.